woof.
Yeah, woof, 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 woof.
This is
y'all a bunch of socialists.
Variety Hour, secreting the seditious sounds from the flaccid fiendbone of liberty. We give you a chiropractic.
Speak for yourself, son.
Yeah, hey, listen now. We give you a crypto chiropractic crack to strengthen your spine against the roving wiretaps of tyranny. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 Kelvins to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael and Shane?
Yeah.
It's working. I can feel it.
All right.
Yep.
And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCAT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCAT.org.
Yeah.
All right.
Worms.
Here we are. Another Sunday night. I'm Jeremy. Shane and Michael here with me tonight. How's everybody doing?
I'm good. I'm answering fan mail. All right.
Oh.
I'm fan mail and death threats. I'm doing well.
I'm doing great.
Yep.
Sometimes the same thing, but you know.
I'm doing good, like Superman.
I'm doing well. I was telling you guys before the show, considering what I'm going through at the moment, I guess I'm doing well. I'm almost 24 hours now without an analog cigarette, as I refer to them. So I'm not
an acoustic cigarette as opposed
to acoustic.
No, you
cigarette.
Have electric cigarettes. Those are acoustic cigarettes. The tobacco.
Yeah, well, I have my digital cigarette now, so you know, I gave up the analog. I'm trying to give up the analog ones.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm not as cranky as I thought I'd be. So that's good.
Yep. So did you guys see my ex talking about Cash Newman?
No, I did not.
Oh, wait. You're never supposed to ask a question on air that you don't know the answer to. All right, let's talk about something else, and I'll send you guys a link.
I did catch that. I caught that, but I remember you. I think you tagged me in something about that. I didn't realize who it was at the time. I just saw that you put this as something about related to Cash Newman, as you were going to use it as a. I can't remember how you described it, but yeah, I did see it.
I was going to use it as a what? Huh?
I thought
it was a testimonial.
That's it.
It was Allison Rogers, my ex from San Francisco, who I went out with for a long time, a couple years, 3 years maybe, 2 years, and I said I am toxic. You know, I've been doing all these blah 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 is toxic, which started with a post that said Islam is toxic, and all of a sudden a lot of libertarians are throwing me under the bus because, you know, you can bash everything. You can bash Christianity, Judaism, Israel, religion, everything. But if you say Islam, all of a sudden you're bad. So Islam is bad. I said Islam is toxic. And a lot of people like put words in my mouth and said, you're saying Muslims are horrible. Nope, I'm saying Islam is horrible. There's a difference. There's kind of like how under communism, there are probably a lot of good people stuck under communism, born into it or duped into it. You know, probably same thing today with socialism at universities. Although I kind of think that today's leftists are kind of a different species. But then that gets into eugenics, and that just feeds into what people think of me right now, which isn't true. What do you think? Libertarian eugenics? No, I'm kidding. So let's see. Allison said, so I said, I am toxic. My ex-girlfriend comments one word, duh. And she said, I said, I think we have a winner for the internets when my ex posts, duh, to me saying, I am toxic. And I said, Allison Rogers knew Cash Newman. She lived with Cash Newman. And you, sir, are no Cash Newman, Jeremy Hengler. And she said, yes, I knew Cash very, very well. And I said, I'm sorry. And she said, and I said, we both made it out okay from Cash Newman, though. And she said, yes, we did. I'm not mad anymore. And then she said, I learned a lot from Cash. So there, glowing testimonial.
Yeah,
I didn't say I was going to use that for a testimony. I said that my girlfriend after her, Marie, did a blurb for the back of Cash Newman's book, my book, Starving in a Company of Beautiful Women. One of the blurbs on the back there is one of the blurbs is from Dave Brocky of Guar, who's now dead, and one of the blurbs is from Michael's ex-girlfriend. She didn't want her name on it, and it says a well-written book for pigs. So that's glowing endorsement for my ex.
That's good stuff right there.
It is. It is.
You can't pay for that those type of endorsements.
Yeah. Shane, you gonna say something?
Oh, I just, you know how it reminds me of the Seinfeld when he's like, Newman.
Oh.
Newman. All all the Seinfelds. Newman, yeah. No, Cash Newman's actually named after Gary Newman. Spelled a little different because Cash Newman is also a new man. Because it's kind of, I wrote that book when I was getting off, like when I was on dope and then getting off dope. And, you know, I was feeling like a new man. So I named him Cash Newman. Newman. Yeah, he's probably Jewish. I don't know. He didn't. 23andMe wasn't around when Cash Newman was around. So, I don't know. Some of my best imaginary fictitious characters are Jewish. I can't be a bad person. So.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Got another announcement. Last time I'm going to say this. Black Block, that site that used to make merch for us in China, I would not recommend ordering anything from them again because they are not fulfilling orders anymore. A couple people ordered something 3 months and 2 months ago, and they haven't got it. The company's not responding to emails. They used to respond to my emails. I've taken their links off of my site, and I think you might as well burn your money and film it. You'd have more fun than sending it to them right now. I'll do an update if I hear anything different. But
maybe they were seized by the government.
Well, you know, running a site that caters to anarchists in China, I wouldn't be surprised if they're, you know, living in a sweat house now run by the government at rifle point, making American flags to sell at Walmart in America as punishment.
That would be a horrible fate for those guys. But yeah, I guess it is possible. Yeah, I mean,
well, I don't wish it on them. I know.
I said it half jokingly, but yeah, I mean, I guess it is. That's pretty much all they sold, right? Almost all of their stuff was anarchist. So.
And their name is Black Block.
Yeah. So yeah. I could imagine them being a target for somebody.
Left anarchist. Those commie anarchists. But blackblock.com was actually, capitalists making money off commies. So I think Davy Barker has a drawing about that. He has a drawing. It's really funny. It's a cartoon of, like, you know, a guy selling merch at a table that kind of looks like Davy, and then, like, all these lefties lining up to buy the stuff, and the stuff all says, like, smash capitalism. I think that's funny. I like it.
Yeah, there's a lot of variations of that. You see that. Actually, I saw a real life one from I think they were missing the irony of it from one of the recent events where somebody in, like, full out Black Block gear was selling ice cream to everybody who was at the rally that he was at, and I think the irony was lost on a lot of them, unfortunately.
It was probably a capitalist who bought the gear on blackblock.com.
Well, yeah, that's the best way to do it. Go out there and
yep,
act like one of them.
The guy that makes all the fiends buttons is a left anarchist, and they make great capitalists. Those commies make great capitalists. They don't tell them though that they're being good capitalists. Yep,
blow their cover.
Yep. Same with the guy who makes the Some of the Fiend stickers. Stickerguy.com. That guy's been making stuff forever. Like, he used to make bomb stickers, and he's still making stickers. He makes the black Bipcot stickers that are bigger than the blue ones, and they're hard to peel. Like, you have to peel them with your finger, not your thumb. I mean, not your nail. But, yeah, that guy used to make bomb stickers until we got signed to Warner Brothers, and then he wouldn't make stickers for us anymore. And I don't think he realizes I'm the same person, but I think it wouldn't matter because it's a different thing. Because I hate Warner Brothers now.
Were you a sellout because you got, was that the
type
of rationale?
Yeah, that was in his terms of service. He just didn't have a website back then, so, you know, I didn't know it.
Oh, but, well, yeah. You know, at least it was in his terms of service, you know.
Yeah, it was in his terms of service. He tells you after the fact when you send him an order and he sends a check back.
Well, you know.
Yep.
That's what makes the digital age so much more fun. You can see all that stuff up front if you actually want to read the ridiculously long terms of service that people put in front of you.
I got a website for my new music. It's biptunia.com. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha.com. Biptunia or Biptunia. I'm having so much fun with that project, man. I'm like, it's got like 25 followers, and I'm still like having more fun with it than anything else I'm doing. I'm kind of sick of making fun of government. I kind of want to talk about this in the next segment. You know, and I think it's counterproductive to just make fun of government all the time. And I think that my Facebook feed just disgusts me. It's and including my friends. Like, it's just, here's what the government did. Here's a cop beating a guy up. Here's a guy in a hospital bed with his face smashed in. Like, I don't want to see that. I know it exists. It's not like, and I know people need to see it, but it's kind of an echo chamber. It's the same people saying it to the same people. And I kind of think that liberty, I kind of think that with that kind of stuff, people should take, maybe should consider taking more of an attitude of like, you kind of do some service in the liberty meme army. Like you become a newly minted libertarian, you scream at everybody about how taxation is theft, you send all your relatives pictures of cops beating people up, and you do that for about 5 years, and then you kind of move on. And I've done it for like 9 or 10 years, and I'm so sick of it. I love doing radio, I love talking. I'm so sick of, what did the government do today? It's so repetitive. You know, I mean, even you guys who are smart, like Jeremy posted the other day, something like, I made fun of you. It was funny. You said, what did you say about prostitution? Some like libertarian statement. It was true.
It was a haiku. I didn't know that.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only reason I go.
What was it?
Days. It was a haiku about.
Now that I know that, I'll look for it. It said something like, but the meaning of it was something like, how can you say I'm free when I can't sell my body for money? And I said, you considering options, Jeremy?
Well, yeah, a couple people said that to me, and I was like, well, actually, because then one guy seemed a little upset about why, he seemed so offended that I would even suggest that people should get paid for that. And I was like, well, if you're really good at something, why not attempt to profit off of it? You know, assuming that everything's voluntary, of course, what's the big deal? I mean, I have no problem with that.
I guess I kind of feel like when I started doing Liberty, just not that long ago, I'm not Harry Brown. I'm not talking 30 years ago. I'm talking like 9 years ago, like when Neiman and I, before the Fiends, but the Fiends have been going since 2011, let's say since then. Like, in that time, like, when the Fiends started, like, there weren't nearly as many libertarians, and I think we had something to do with building so many of them, but, us and a lot of other people, but there are so many now, I feel like we don't need to yell about it anymore. Maybe on radio, because radio, there's new listeners all the time, but not on Facebook. I'm just going to post cat pictures and my new music on Facebook, I think. You're all a bunch of socialists. I'm kidding.
Worms.
You're all a bunch of...
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Biptunia. Music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Biptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Biptunia styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BipCot NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's BIPTUNIA. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha. Biptunia.com.
Kids, all right. So, I did an experiment this week. I bought Facebook ads. I bought Facebook ads once about, 5 years ago for the Fiends.
Not even once.
Yeah. And then I also bought YouTube ads at one point. And my experience with them the first two times was it didn't help anything. My experience with it this time was it hurt. It made things worse. Because I bought $40, which is nothing, I bought $40 worth of ads for my music thing, Biptunia, to send people to one particular video on the Facebook page, which was a cover of a Pink Floyd song, and I tagged people that like Pink Floyd, so, they should at least probably go look at it. So, in 24 hours, Facebook says that it got... like 4,000, 3,000 or 4,000 views on that video. It got one like from someone I don't know. And during that time, I got less engagement on that page than I usually get on that page. Like, it was counterproductive. And now, every time I post something on Biptunia, Facebook, every time, is like, do you want to boost this post? Do you want to boost this post? Pay money to send this post to a million people, you know. And when I tag people that normally want to be tagged and want to see stuff on it, they don't see the like, not just do they don't click, but I asked them, like, they don't see it. Some of them don't see it. So Facebook, once you pay for an ad on something, allegedly, apparently, it seems like they give you even less engagement on that site. You know what? If they were smart, you know what they'd do? They would show it somehow to, you know, a crap load of people the first time who would click on it and engage you. Or even bots, but
yeah,
you know,
hooking you on the free taste of heroin.
Yeah, they didn't even do that. They sold me some bunk heroin, and now they're trying to sell me heroin all the time.
I haven't used any. I don't think I've ever paid for any Facebook ads, and it's just the whole algorithm thing is all screwed up. I know a couple of guys who've learned how to, like, they spend their time figuring out how to fight the algorithm.
Ian Freeman does.
My buddy Johnny does that. He's figured out, like, he just waits. He studies this and figures out how to beat the algorithms. And
he doesn't buy ads?
No. He's just
Ian Freeman buys ads and gets a lot of engagement from them.
There is ways to do it too.
He has to study it to do it too.
Yeah. No, I know people who do that too, but I know other people who just get around it by just getting, people moving to their different Facebook pages just by figuring out how to beat them, and like different ways to, like different strategies on posting. Like, it's all about like what time you post, how often you post.
What day,
like, it's crazy.
One of my problems is I always post stuff at like 4 a.m, which is a bad time to post stuff because almost all of my so-called friends on Facebook are in America. A few of them are in Europe, but I post when people are asleep. You know, I need to just learn to schedule to post them in the morning or something. But I don't know. Facebook is seeming less and less worthwhile. I'm having a lot more fun on YouTube and Twitter. And Facebook more and more is kind of like socially nudging you, you know, to try to make you a good liberal and a good world citizen and all that crap. And then, you know, what's going to happen when that guy becomes president? He is going to run.
Zuckerberg, oh gosh.
He'll probably have he'll turn Facebook over to his wife, and then he'll secretly run it, just like Trump is with his son, allegedly.
Well, yeah. I'm sure Trump has cut all connections to Trump Industries or whatever it is that he's not part of anymore. And it would be the same for Zuckerberg. Yeah, of course. At this point, unfortunately, it's, you know, if you had said that phrase, you know, that sentence to most people, even a couple of years ago, I think most people would have thought you're crazy. Well, now, unfortunately, that's not so crazy because, you know, there are people like The Rock talking about running for president already, and that's not so far. It's not as far-fetched as maybe a lot of us would.
Camacho is only like two or three presidents away.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So. Dwayne Mountain Dew Camacho from Idiocracy. Yeah.
And then look how much support a crazy quote-unquote rock star is getting support for Senate, and he hasn't even actually declared that he's running. I mean, we are definitely headed in that direction. So
you got a mouse in your pocket?
Yeah.
Are you part of the voting industrial complex?
I'm not headed in that direction.
Good.
I know, yeah.
Good.
I'm not, it was a slip of the tongue. Get over it.
So I'm not saying I'm leaving Facebook, and, you know, I'm not one of those. I left before and came back. I left for 2 years. I had a lot more users, a lot more engagement. That was back when, like, they actually let you have your engagement, you know, to get you hooked. Like, if you had 3,000 fans and you posted something, you know, you got 300 likes.
Yeah, because everybody actually saw it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well. Zuck. So Liberty's good. I'm just done talking.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
I don't know. Worms!
The torture yourself at this point.
I watch it because everything about it's good except the characters aren't likable. There was one character that was kind of likable, and spoiler alert, they killed him off last week. So I watched this week, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. Both Christopher Cantwells are stupid. These guys are stupid.
That seems to happen almost every week in Game of Thrones. They kill off your favorite character.
That's what DJ said, but yeah, there's like a million characters. There's like four characters in Halt and Catch Fire. Four main characters. Yeah. How did you say that happens almost every week that a Christopher Cantwell is an idiot?
Well, that does happen too.
Yeah. You know, there was a march in Charlottesville last night. Do you guys know about that?
I just learned of this like a couple of hours ago. I caught a headline, and at first I thought it was from a satire site, and then I was like, oh no, wait a minute. They actually did this again, didn't they?
But they were kind of brilliant, actually. Although if I say they're brilliant, you know, people are going to continue to throw me under the bus. Dobby Barker and Will.
Your dog whistling to them, Michael. We know it.
Still going to call me. Well, here's the thing. Like, Dobby and Will, you know, stapling their head to their forehead saying, Michael's horrible. He's picking on us. No. I said something bad about Islam. Unless those guys are specious enough and, like, on a high horse enough to think they are Islam, I didn't make fun of them. I tagged them in that because someone was talking about them, and I don't like to talk about people behind their back, which they didn't give me that courtesy. They were bashing me without tagging me. But, you know, I wasn't really bashing at that point. But so what happens is they go throw me under the bus, you know, have a big, like, curb stop party on me and my name and allow people to lie about me and tell some lies about me. And then I go, you know, you guys are horrible. You're telling lies. And they go, Michael said we're horrible. That's what those guys are like. They're like, Dobby and Will are like the kid that, you know, knock your milk out of your hand in grade school. And then when you punch him, tell the teacher you punched him. So, and Will probably murdered somebody. He was in the Marines in Afghanistan. Well, I want him to answer that accusation because he told me some stuff. I want to know if the guy who's saying I'm bad for speech has actually shot a human being. I want to know because Marines, you could be in the Army in Afghanistan and, like, you know, just do some patrols and play some ping pong back at the base. But the Marines are the, what do they call them, the pointy end of the stick. They go out looking for, you know, for prepared for, and they're the first responders. They go out and some would say start trouble, some would say, you know, root out trouble. But I want to know. I want Will to say, not on his show, because no one listens to his show. It's got, well, if people listen to it, but it's got, well, first of all, he said no one listens to my show, so he shouldn't really care if I'm saying he might have murdered somebody allegedly, because no one listens to my show. But I want him to call into Free Talk Live and address whether or not he shot a human being, probably a Muslim human being in Afghanistan.
Well, he probably didn't kill anyone who wasn't also trying to kill him, too.
Yeah, but they might be trying to kill him because they're over there trying to kill him.
True.
I don't know. I have no idea. All I do know about that is the couple of friends of mine who I've had who were Marines. They never talked about stuff like that. But when I saw them again afterwards, they were definitely changed human beings. So,
yeah,
they're definitely a different breed than anybody else.
Well, Will changed and became a Muslim because of whatever happened over there that he won't talk about. So, I think he should talk about it. Especially, you know, just because if somebody is on a high horse enough to say I'm horrible for three words on the internet, I want to know what, you know, it says God said it doesn't matter what comes out of a man's, you know, what comes out of a man's or goes into a man's mouth is what comes out of a man's mouth. And I say it doesn't matter what comes out of a man's mouth, matters what comes out of the barrel of his gun. So address it, Will. Pick up the gauntlet. Ugh. You're saying, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, I try not to pay attention to a lot of this stuff because for exactly what you were talking about earlier about Facebook, you know, and the fact that the people, I don't know. It, for me, it's always like the, you know, it starts with the newly minted ones, the newly minted libertarians and anarchists. And most people go through that angry phase, which, you know, I stayed in a lot longer than I should have. But yeah.
Yeah.
I've given up already. I've
you're in trouble because of it.
That was actually long after I had really stopped. That was just
really
a particular thing. That was just a random thing I said that the accident about that was right when those stupid new, whatchamacallit, the colored backgrounds you can do for your post started coming out. Like,
I love
it. That's when that first...
My Islam, all my blank is toxic are three words with a black background. It's cool. It's striking.
Yeah, well, that's when I had made my post, that's when those first started becoming available to everybody. And that was an accident. I didn't mean to post it as one of those. I just did it on my phone quick and wasn't paying attention. But I had actually before that I had started backing away and stopped having conversations and stopped engaging and left pretty much all groups that I was in and only stayed in a few of them just to be able to share my content. And that's really
to fiend fight your battles.
Huh? Yeah.
Not your but she she drives herself nuts. She's so good. She should just you don't need to yell at people on the internet, Lisa. You have a radio show. You can yell at action and not listen back to what they say.
Well, she doesn't do it as often as you and I do, so she doesn't get as many opportunities.
Well, maybe she should do radio more often, because I'm going to do it less often, because I'm so tired of it. And, you know, I mean, the Fiend's prime directive, the reason we're on radio is to bring the message of liberty to people who've never heard it. And so I do want to still, you know, say taxation is theft and say a little bit about it once an hour at least. And you guys are going to talk the next hour about what the government did today and about rappers who can't hold their weed and things like that. Although that's not really a government thing, but you know, I was thinking today, so weed is so strong, allegedly, like I don't even know. I haven't smoked it since last time I smoked weed, I was kicking heroin in 1994. I smoked it to help kick heroin.
Oh, it's definitely much helps. Better than it was then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I know the statistics, I know that when I was smoking it regularly in the 70s, boy, that sounds old. When I, 20 years before you were born, when I smoked pot, it was like one joint. You could share a joint with two people and be like, yeah, I think I'm high. Let's smoke another. And now, like one joint among two people you'd be unconscious, you know.
Yeah, especially if you weren't
used to it. Well, it's like 50 times stronger than it was. It used to be, you know, from like 0.25% THC to like really good weed in the 70s was like 1% THC. And now weed is like, you know, 10 to 25% weed. And then shatter is like, what, 80 or 90% THC? Not percent weed, THC. And shatter is stronger than hash, I think. And it's like, hash used to be something in the 70s that, like, you got once a year, you know, as a treat. And now, like, you know, you can just go buy shatter. It looks like peanut butter. And what I'm wondering is, how come, I think there's a market for this. Here's an idea, if anyone knows anyone that works at a marijuana place. I think someone should sell dirt weed. I think you should bring that back as an option. In addition to the 98 kinds of, you know, psychedelic, like, lay you out. You know, you could have your arm cut off. You could have cancer treatment and not care.
There's still people. Believe me, there are still people that sell it. I have come across it over the years. There's still people here on Long Island that sell it.
That makes sense. It's probably homegrown, huh?
I run into a lot of people across the country who live in more like rural places. When like they talk about getting stuff, it's like
they just throw some seeds in their pig farm later.
They're wishing they had dirt weed. It's like worse than that, you know. It's like that type of situation.
What were you saying, Shane?
Oh, I was going to talk about how Cat Williams has a bit where he's talking about hanging out with Snoop, and Snoop has all these different kinds of weed he's never heard of before, and he's like, hey, I just want regular weed, you know?
Yeah, it's like ordering a bud at the bar instead of the, you know, 27 microbrews from Afghanistan.
Oh, it's much worse
Amsterdam.
Than that. Yeah, it's much worse than that. You go to any of these, if you go to any of these dispensaries, it's just like a wall of names. It's like, I've never heard of most of them.
Yeah. You know. One's called AK-47. I know that. We filmed at a marijuana place for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom in Denver. We crossed state lines to film weed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Legal. It's legal.
Exactly. You got to do what you got to do, man.
You got to film it.
You didn't break any of the rules. You're okay.
You know, I'll bet the reason there's not dirt weed in marijuana dispensaries, I just remember this. I know there's a lot of taxes on the weed, and I don't think it's per a dollar percent. Well, I think there's sales tax too, but I think it's like per gram. So if you had dirt weed, like the tax would be more than the weed.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Thanks, government.
It could be, yeah.
So there are politicians that complain that marijuana is too strong and hurts people. That's the fault of the government. We just did the maths.
Exactly. Yeah, the only people who ever get quote unquote hurt by it, it's usually through edibles, and it's because they're taking way too much.
Because when you're smoking, you smoke some. If you get too high, you can stop. Once you eat it, the only thing you can do is throw up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And most of the time, the most danger you run into is if you smoke too much, you'll pass out and not do anything for an hour or two.
Yeah. Yeah, or like 12 or 20.
You'll miss a meeting or something, you know, or a dinner date. You know, no big deal.
I don't know. That sounds very specific, Jeremy. I wouldn't know. So anyway, biptunia.com. Everyone should go to biptunia.com, especially if they like weed, because it is trippy music. Even though I don't do the weeds, but I don't inject the marijuanas.
I can confirm the trippiness of some of the music that I've listened to. So
I'm having so much fun. You know, a lot of it too is
you can tell
not.
How often you're talking about it, and you're posting of it. Yeah, you can tell that you're excited. It's great, man. I'm glad that you're. You know.
I think I'm going to do the Freedom Fiends 1 hour a week, even though I'm feeling better and could do more now. I used to do 1 hour a week because it's all I could do because I was too sick. And now that I'm not out of the woods. People ask me how I am now. I say I'm not out of the woods, but I'm no longer down a well deep in the woods going, "Help me." Yeah. You know, I'm not using my analog synthesizer very much. I'm really using soft synths and MIDI a lot more. It's so much easier, and I don't know. As soon as I heard Gary Newman say he doesn't use his analog synths anymore, I went,
well,
okay.
That's funny.
I get it.
You had your epiphany in a much shorter time frame than Gary Newman did.
Yeah, yeah. He did. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants going, analog synthesizer. But I'll keep it because I use it to arpeggiate stuff done in MIDI. It's cool. I think he probably did it in MIDI too. I just didn't figure it out. Worms. All right, have a good show, guys. Talk about the government and why it's evil.
Sure.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. And get ready for lip pair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
So we were just discussing something off the air, and I was trying to remember. I thought we started to touch on this earlier. I know on the air, right? I get confused of where the show stops and where it ended about the whole Amish thing. Did you mention that on the air at all?
I actually did not mention that on the air. Okay. But I can go ahead and bring this up now. Is that I discovered a lucrative job opportunity that you could probably look into, Jeremy, over in Pennsylvania. Through a friend of a friend, I've heard that over in Pennsylvania, the Amish are looking to diversify their gene pool, and they're offering as much as $500 a night to...
Wait, they're going to pay me to do what?
To try to make babies.
What? Who?
This is the Amish.
The Amish are offering $500 a night to try to make babies to diversify their gene pool.
Isn't that just called Rumspringa? But well, I'd do it. My wife might not like it, but she might. She might let me. But so yeah. Do I have to tell them I got a vasectomy? That's what I want to know.
I'm sure that's something they would want to know. I'm not sure if it's in the fine print or not. I mean, be able to get away with that one.
I mean, I guess it'd be fraud, but would it really? Because vasectomies do fail very occasionally, so it's technically still possible.
But they do have you sign all kinds of paperwork and everything so that you have no claim.
I'd get them all hot to trot for the guy that had the swimmers, though, too. Someone could go after me. Someone younger and...
So some kind of, so essentially a fluffer.
He's a fluffer for the Amish girls. You know, I was hanging out with this Liberty dude one time in Wyoming.
Can you say that on radio?
We went to this farmer's market. I went there with this conservative gun dude. Cool guy. I liked him. But weirdest thing that's ever come out of someone's mouth. We were at this farmer's market. And we're, at the table where the Amish people were selling, the honey they make or something. And this guy looks at the mother, and she's there with her two, like a 15-year-old and a 19-year-old daughter or something. They're all dressed in traditional dress. And he looked her up and down, and he looked at the mother and father and really cheerfully said, the father wasn't there. He said to the mother, "Ma'am, you sure have a clean daughter. I should tell that guy about this." Maybe,
There's a lot of paperwork that you have to fill out so that you don't try to claim the child later on. But there's also some
not
weird...
a problem.
Yeah, yeah. But the
when I hear children, I go, "Ew, children!"
Also has to be present.
Wait, what?
No,
what cock. I missed that.
So the guy has to cock you.
Well, if there's a husband or father, they have to be present. Gotcha. To kind of oversee.
This is the creepiest crap I've ever heard, man. I mean.
Hey, listen, man, if you're hard up for money, I mean...
Oh, no, I'm not saying from the standpoint of whoever, syphilitic junkie is going to do that for $500. I'm talking about that they're, pimping out their... I mean, why do they have to advertise and pay? I mean, it's Pennsylvania. Can't they go to Kensington? It's not that far. Just try, hitch up the horse
to their standards a little higher
to
than
the
that.
Covered wagon and go set up on Steve Miller's porch. They could pay him in honey and wood crafts and
bolo ties. Yeah.
Bolo ties. Yeah, they probably make bolo ties. My dad used to sell wood to the Amish because he owned this Christmas tree farm that my mother and him planted 90 acres of Christmas trees before I was born. And then at one point they were too big for Christmas tree farms. And now it's actually rented out natural gas drilling on it because all the Christmas trees are too big to sell as Christmas trees. But there are a bunch of really old oaks and maples and walnut trees on it. And he sold a tree several times, sold a tree to the Amish for $5,000. And they come and remove it too and make beautiful cabinets out of it. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
That gives me wood. The whole story gives me wood.
Man.
My dad would give the Amish wood is what I'm saying. He's 96 and he's still feisty. He's dating a younger woman who's 83. Maybe he want to go back to Pennsylvania for...
Yeah. Well,
here's an idea.
Pass along the information.
So next year when there's forest fires in the Mountain West and my lungs hurt again, I was going to fly out and live with Jeremy, which I'll probably do, and, milk bison with him. But I could probably spend some of that time impregnating Amish women in Pennsylvania. It'd probably be good for my lungs, too. It's not smoky out there. Air is clean.
Yeah.
I could do some horizontal push-ups, as we used to say in punk rock.
There you go.
Oh, I got a tip from punk rock real quick. When we didn't have money for bumper stickers, we would go get bumper stickers from other people, spray paint over them, and then stencil our band name on it and give them away. So do that to people you don't like gun grabbers.
News you can
Sounds
use.
Like a plan.
Yeah. Do you like the picture I sent?
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fictional.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep. But always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback and for the first time on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to BIPCOT.org. All right, we're back. And this is the second hour of the Freedom Fiends. I believe we are being heard in Sundance.
No, I think Michael said that they never got back to us about that. So,
well, I thought that was Belfouche, was it not?
No, they're the same station. Apparently, they're different stations, but they're owned by the same parent company or whatever. But yeah, so. they never answered us, so I don't think we're officially back on the air, unfortunately.
Well, any hoodle. I look forward to the day when we can be back on the air.
I know.
In Belfouche.
I miss being able to say welcome Belfouche. And actually have it mean something. But yeah. Anyway, so we're back now for the second hour. This is Jeremy. That's Shane. Michael has left us for the evening, probably off to go make some more music. For Biptunia, and let's see, we had a bunch of stuff to talk about because we weren't sure if Michael was going to be here or not to begin with, so we loaded up with articles and made sure we had plenty of topics, and then he showed up and ruined everything, but that's okay. But you know it was funny because some of the stuff we were talking about in the first hour had to do with not. Getting away from the whole like liberty scene and not dealing with the people in and just not regurgitating what government is doing to all the bad stuff, which I personally try to stay away from too, because there's only so many of those you can share. I mean, sometimes when I catch a really egregious story, I'll share it, but it's most often not with the intent of having a conversation about it, because I usually don't stick around to respond to the comments or anything.
Yeah. I also went through that angry anarchist phase, and I was, for a while, I still follow Police the Police and Cop Block and things like that, but I don't really share everything that happens all the time involving police interactions. Because it happens, but that's not really what I want to focus on so much anymore, is like how government is bad. I want to mainly focus on how the free market is good and how individuals deciding things for themselves is a good thing, and that's the direction that I prefer to focus on.
I'm definitely with you there. I'm trying to move more in that direction. And on that note, one of the articles that you sent in for tonight, which I think I wanted to talk about this last week, and then I ended up not doing the show on Tuesday because we ended up canceling the show because I think Lisa wasn't feeling well, and Michael wasn't up to doing a show, and I didn't really feel like scrambling to get another host, so we just took the night off. But the story about Roger Ver, Bitcoin Jesus, who's trying in the works to try to start his own country with no government, which of course immediately when I hear something like that it piques my interest, because I'd love to be a part of that, but most of the time those type of things when they're talked about, they're not really, they haven't really taken a lot of things into consideration, although there's like the seasteading stuff which people are trying to do.
Patrick Friedman.
Was that? Yes, yeah.
And, Patrick Friedman, who is actually Milton Friedman's grandson and David Friedman's son.
Yes, yeah, that's correct. And, well, former fiend Shane Radliff is actually working with, I think it might be it's one of the institutes that's doing
the Seasteading Institute, I believe.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, one of those that, you know, involved in that, which is really cool. But as this article points out, the one difference between what Roger and the people he's involved with are talking about doing and a lot of these other projects is they're actually talking about working with specific governments in order to facilitate, like, basically, you know, acquire the land, you know, legally through the mm-hmm. through a specific government to be able to take over and claim as their own and eventually work towards some kind of sovereignty where they could have their own government, you know, where they could have, they would be their own nation, but, and then they could do what they want with it. Whereas most of these other things that have taken place, and there's been a ton of them too, which also another thing Shane Radliff has been involved in is the whole, the Vanu podcast that he does.
Right.
Which discusses, you know, part of that, it discusses a lot of the different things over the past 40 or 50 years now that different anarchist or libertarian projects that have been attempted all over the world where they've tried to have some type of, you know, a freer society up and running, whether it was within some a piece of land that is owned by some government and they're just doing it, you know, just trying to do their own thing, or people actually purchasing large tracts of land and trying to do this stuff. And a lot of them end up failing eventually because one of the main reasons is usually because they run afoul of the government that, that they're dealing with in some way, you know, which was the whole the Gulch thing
yeah.
in Chile back, was that 5-6 years now at this point? I don't even remember now.
Something like that, yeah.
Where
it also reminds me of Lieberland, which supposedly is a small area of territory which is not really claimed by either of the two countries that border it. So I think that's how they're getting away with that for the time being.
Yeah, but they've had, I mean, yeah, they mentioned Lieberland in this article too, but that's something else that, you know, when that first happened, it was a disputed, like essentially disputed territory, I guess, then there wasn't an actual you know, one side having an actual claim over the other one, so it was kind of just like a demilitarized zone essentially between the two countries. But then after I remember when they first tried to start that project up, there were like injunctions and stuff put on them and they were stopped from doing certain things and promoting it, and then it kind of went away for a while, but now it seems to be, I've heard more news about it again, so I know they're trying to do it. But yeah, I mean, I've always been a big fan of Roger Ver's, so anything he's involved in, I'm always interested to look into and say,
now,
okay.
I know I've heard this, slightly off topic, I know I've heard this story before, but for a lot of our listeners who might not know who he is, how did he get the name Bitcoin Jesus?
I don't remember how the name actually came to be. It was just somebody named him that. But the whole thing with Roger, as far as I remember, was that he was a he had a store that sold used computers and stuff like that, and he just basically transformed the entire thing into a mining operation.
Okay.
You know, while he had all these things that were just sitting there anyway, you know, I think he turned them all on back in the very beginning of Bitcoin, and you know, so he was able to mine when it was super easy to mine. And he's, you know, a lot of things that he's either predicted or tried to, you know, help make come into fruition. I think in the early days, he had, you know, a lot of sway with stuff like that. So he was one of the first names I knew of when I first learned of Bitcoin. Like I became aware of Roger Ver, and I was like, all right, he seems like an interesting dude. Let me follow him and see what he's doing. But yeah, so this project, they're calling it the Free Society, and there is a website currently which doesn't have much on it, although it does state there's a logo and stuff like that, and a set of an FAQ set that basically says the they list out a criteria for the location that they're looking for. So they're looking for something within proximity to an existing economic powerhouses, you know, like the U.S., Europe, or Asia. So not putting themselves in the middle of the in the middle of the ocean somewhere if they happen to find some land that's not technically being claimed by anybody at the current moment or something like that.
Right.
They want to be somewhat close by, which is another thing I know that seasteading has going for it for the most part, that a lot of that type of project usually has to at the very least start off closer to land like that for reasons of getting equipment and
logistics product. Purposes. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, with the, I know the idea, you know, I know with that, a lot of people I've talked to involved in seasteading and stuff like that. I know the eventual plan is to try to start to be able to get further and further away, but you know, in the interim. So that's what another thing they're doing here with the Free Society is they're saying outright, listen, yeah, we have to be, you know, in proximity to this because it's just going to make life easier.
Right.
So the second thing is accessibility to water, which obviously is a given for any type of project you're wanting to do, whether you're trying to go in the middle of the woods and off-gridding, or you're trying to start your own country, you need to make sure you have access to water. Otherwise, all the people who join you will end up dying. So that's not good.
It's also good for like transportation, like access to a seaport or even a river is good for, you know, shipping and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Many reasons. So the next thing is located in a safe, conflict-free area, which, well, that's kind of tough to do anywhere that going back to the original thing of being close to a powerhouse like the U.S., well, anywhere the U.S. has ties, there's usually conflict, so that's going to be kind of tough to find. But it is a lofty goal. You obviously, if you're trying to start a new country, you're definitely not going to put yourself in the middle of some place that has conflict going on all around you, because then you'll just get drawn into it whether you want to or not. So that's obviously obviously an important factor. The next one is a stable existing government, which again, that could be semantical, you know, being semantical about that. I don't know. Are any of them really stable?
Exactly.
But I get what they're going after here. You don't want something where there's obvious constant conflict and turmoil, where there's like, you know, revolutions being led constantly to overturn government after government. That type of stuff is not ideal, because for the same reasons as the last one, you don't want to be around that type of stuff. The next one is nations with a significant national debt. Now that's interesting, because most of them do have a significant.
Debt-based economies, so it's kind of hard to avoid that.
Yeah, I know, but it's just interesting that they had to specify that as one of the criteria. I don't think that actually was mentioned further in the article, but I'd be curious to know why that is. next one is a flexible constitution that allows granting sovereignty, which again, as far as constitutions are worth, because plenty of them claim stuff like that.
Like that word granting.
Yeah, but I'm not a fan of it either, but you know, they're saying from the onset here that they want to work with these governments, so I guess you have to play with their lingo. We'll have more on this when we get back from this trip to the market. Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
So we're back. And in the last segment, we were talking about this article about Roger Ver and a group of people he's involved with trying to start their own country with no government, which, of course, is an exciting idea for me to hear, because I'm always... that's my ideal situation, going to get to live somewhere where they don't have to, when I don't have to deal with the silliness of government. That would be wonderful. And just as we hit the break, I was reading through the list of criteria they have on the website for the free society, as they're currently dubbing it. And I was running down the list, and I think I got to the second to last one, where we were talking about the fact that it mentions granting sovereignty for the one that we were reading about, you know, the country supposed to have a flexible constitution that allows for that. But again, if you're gonna openly admit that you're gonna play by the whatever government's rules that you're trying to acquire land from, essentially, then, you know, If you're already openly admitting that, then yeah, you're gonna have to, you know, you have to kind of work with their lingo and stuff like that, even if you don't really necessarily believe in it. You know, I get that. You know, which actually is, again, that kind of ties into something we were talking about earlier about the whole, you know, going through that angry anarchist phase and wanting to yell about all the horrible things about government does. Like, you know, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't even want to hear about this. I would just be like, oh no, you can't work with them at all. They're all horrible. Yeah. It's like, now a couple of years down the road, little older, a little wiser, have realized a few things, and it's like, okay, yeah, you know, maybe, yeah, if you're going to take a project on of this magnitude, you're going to have to make some concessions. You know,
right? Yeah. Because me, I'm like that. It'd be like, oh, I was born sovereign. Nobody grants it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, in this type of you know, when you're dealing with this type of situation, I can understand why that language would be, I guess, acceptable, and I'm fine with it, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, the last thing on this list for the criteria that they currently have up is that there's an acceptable minimum size for land, which of course makes sense, because if you have a project in mind and you have like an idea of what you're trying to accomplish, then yeah, you're definitely gonna need. You don't want to grab a tiny piece of land and have the government be like, oh, you know, okay, sure, you can do this, and then all of a sudden you're overloaded with people who want to get in there, and then you don't have, you know, then you're trying to acquire more land from that government, who now will have the bargaining chip over you, because, you know, it's like, well, yes, there's already demand. Well, now we can increase the whatever we're going to charge you in order for this sovereignty that you want on this land.
Supply and demand.
Exactly. So you gotta plan this out in advance. And so yeah, it's definitely an interesting idea, and I'm very intrigued to see how, you know, how stuff like this proceeds. Again, all the other stuff we mentioned before, even with like the seasteading and any project like this, I'm definitely down for, because I'm somebody, even though I don't necessarily think that political secessions of any kind are really that great of a thing, because they never turn out very well. You know, historically speaking, most secessions, when they claim to be leading towards more freedom, end up backfiring in the long run. Say, like, you know, the United States. but I'm also, again, I've softened my stance on certain things, so I'm kind of like, well, you know what? If people are going to make a go of this stuff, great. I'm all for it. You know, that's kind of
absolutely.
You know, it's kind of the thing I'm working towards on my own anyway. I want to get, if maybe if not a full secession from whatever state I end up in, at least, you know, as far removed from the inner workings of what the state has to do there, and try to just be, you know, left alone as much as possible type thing. So I'm all for that.
Yep.
But you, there was one point you said you were talking about during the break that you said about this this article.
Oh yeah, a particular paragraph that stuck out to me. It says, Ver is joined in this project by Bitcoin entrepreneur Oliver Janssens and Stefan Clays. And it says, Janssens is the founding father and CEO of the project, while Veer will serve as the co-founder, and Clays is as the chief of staff. And it says, in regards to funding this endeavor, Janssens told 71 Republic that, quote, we have backing of over $100 million in private capital and are committed to the mission of realizing the world's first free society. And so he's putting his money where his mouth is, and they have $100 million back in this. So if money talks, we'll see how far this project can go.
Yeah, I mean, it's that is a lot of scratch, and I think it's definitely much more money than any other project like this that's taken on attempt that this has had to start with. So good luck to them, man. I'm definitely gonna keep an eye on this and see how it goes, because if they could be successful, then
you're listening
great
to
Model
Freedom
Brothers.
Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Trigger Weens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by BIPCOT. Thank you for being a fiend.
Back. I'm still Jeremy. That's still Shane. And last couple of segments, we were talking about happier news with Roger Veer and his little group of people trying to start up their own country without a government, which is a positive step in, as far as I'm concerned. And unfortunately, that's going to transition us into another story that is a good example of why people like Roger Veer are trying to start their own country without a government, because this story is pretty much all about what the bad things happen when you have a government are all about. And that's the ongoing situation that's happening in Catalonia, in Spain in general, where the people of Catalonia are trying yet again to secede from the country of Spain, much as they did way back in the, well, not exactly as they did, but, you know, the same type of idea as they were doing. When was that? The 30s? Was that the revolution?
I believe so.
That unfortunately was that revolution back then was kind of very bloody, because, well, the people who were trying to secede were communist, were anarcho-communists and people like that, and they were or anarcho-syndicalists, I think, too. But they turned things very, very violent and very, very quickly, and it didn't end up going very well. But here they are again, you know, all these years later, and the people of Catalonia, I mean, this has been going on now for a couple of, well, I've been hearing about it for more than a couple of weeks, like a lot of talk about it. And, I mean, it went so far that they, you know, I think it was something like 70-80% of the people in that area were saying that they were willing to vote and to secede. But the Spanish government was just like, yeah, we don't care. Where your votes aren't, not only are your votes not going to count, but we're going to shut down your votes. Mm-hmm. And the you know, the militarized police there in Spain actually went out and started, you know, trying to shut down the voting booths by, you know, firing tear gas and shooting rubber bullets at people. And there was some really just, I mean, the one I think the most iconic picture already out of this one is the one that I saw shared a lot, and of course a lot of people tagged me in it, because, well, these days anything to do with firefighters, of course I get tagged in, but was the picture of the Spanish police force going up, you know, basically in their riot gear, going up against this crowd, but it was the firefighters from Spain who were actually standing in front of the civilians and trying to protect them, which was a pretty epic picture to see, you know. But yeah, it's things are crazy there, and the article that's tied to this conversation in particular is actually titled "Catalonia Shows the Danger of Disarming Civilians," and that's exactly the problem, because the reason that the cops there are getting away with this stuff is because civilian gun ownership in Spain is kind of like civilian gun ownership in New York City and the surrounding areas.
Or Chicago.
Technically it's possible, but the chances of you actually owning one are really, really slim. Because of all the insane regulations they make you jump through, you know, they make you follow, and all the hoops they make you jump through in order just to get a permit. You know, it's basically you have to show that imminent danger. You know, you have to prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt to be able to. You know, that's kind of like the way it is in New York City. Like, unless you're connected, or you have a lot, you know, or you have a lot of money, you basically have to, you know, prove to them like five times over that somebody's trying to kill you. Which, of course, the horrible irony of that is, by the time you're actually able to produce evidence like that, chances are you're already going to be killed by the person who's trying to kill you while you're waiting to get your legal handgun.
Well, that would be the proof they need.
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh at that, because unfortunately that I've heard that story too many times about, you know, usually happens with women who are trying to get away from people that they, you know, they may have a restraining order against, but that's still not stopping them, and they want to get a gun, and then they end up, something bad ends up happening to them because they had to wait for the stupid waiting period to be able to acquire the gun legally, because they were trying to do everything right. So that's what's happened. That's what's going on currently in Spain, and because all these people do not have, so many of them do not have weapons there, it's easy for the police to control a lot of this stuff. And it's just going to make it more violent, unfortunately.
Yeah. One of the videos that I saw was had like a riot police in full riot gear. And I think this was at one of the polling stations. And it's a bunch of like, you know, 20 something people who are completely unarmed. And I saw one, I think they got pushed down some stairs, and then while they were laying on the ground, one of the riot cops came along and started stomping on the heads. And I thought, wow, this is exactly what they say. Like, you know, when you picture like a boot stamping on someone's head, you know, I didn't think I would actually see that literally happening.
Yeah, it's scary. It's basically like all the, you know, all the fear porn we've been watching for years, you know, being put out there in real time, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's insane. I mean, I've tried to not watch too much of it, because again, I know on one hand it'll just get me incensed, then on another hand it'll probably just depress me.
One thing that's good about some of this footage getting out is that it will highlight, you know, how, you know, the I guess you could say the violence inherent in the system, especially when it comes to Spain and their iron fist that they're using to rule over their citizens. I think that it could cause a little bit of a backlash and maybe some international support for this, hopefully.
Obviously. I mean, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier about, you know, always sharing the negative stories on Facebook, and how, you know, Michael was mentioning, and both of us, I think, said too, that, you know, we try to get away from that now at this point, but it doesn't mean it's not necessary, because there's plenty of people who still are not aware of this type of stuff. So, yeah, obviously the fact that it gets out there, I'm happy that people are reporting on it, and that the stories are getting out there. Obviously, I just myself personally can't watch too much of it. You know, I have as strong as of a constitution, you know, constitution that I have for a lot of things. Some of this stuff, just after a while, just starts to get to me, and I can't really, you know. I know the deal, so I don't need to see it, but I am glad that it's getting out there for other people to see. Because hopefully people. Unfortunately. Especially here in the good old U.S. of USSA, most people who aren't in the know already, who see this type of stuff, at least in my experience, will always shrug it off as, oh, that's just how it's going on over there. They won't see the correlations between what's going on in a place like Spain and what happens here every day, you know? Because it's, I mean, you would think that at least more people would be cognizant of it, because it's not like, you know, some third world country as they normally think of when they look at this stuff, all the horrible things that happen that the U.S. is usually doing to people in these quote-unquote third world countries. But it's easy to just brush that off and go, oh, they're nothing like us. But you're talking about a more civilized society in general, like Spain, you know,
right?
And now that it's happening here, you would hope that more people, but like I said, for me, unfortunately, so many people I see that aren't aware of this stuff already. When this stuff comes up, it's just like, oh, it's horrible, and yeah, and maybe they'll go as far as saying something should be done, but they don't make the correlation. They don't see the correlations between what's going on there and what could happen here and what has been close to happening here because of the same type of stuff, where it's just like, you know, they usually squash talk of secession by just writing people off as crazy conspiracy theorists and stuff like that. So no, even Cal exit, that whole big thing earlier this year, never really went very far.
Well, at least, you know, Brexit kind of got that dialogue started, and then everywhere people were talking about, you know, Calexit and Texit, you know, things like that. But it seems like they're kind of overlooking this whole Spain thing, and I wonder if it's because of the violence and everything and how sensational it seems to be right now. But I can only hope that, you know, this becomes a little bit more attention gets shined on this particular region.
Yeah,
I can't understand why Spain is fighting so hard to keep in a region that almost 90% of the people want to be independent. You know, I don't know why they don't work with them a little bit.
Well, like any other good tax farm, you need to keep as much cattle in as possible in order to reap the benefits for yourself. So when that, you know, I mean, you're talking about an area where, I mean, I don't even know how many people are in total, but there was at least 2.3 million voters who were actually quote unquote permitted to vote because of all the stuff that, you know, trying to shut down all those polling. So you're talking about quite a large number of people. You know, if you imagine just that many people were actually permitted to vote, how many people are actually there? You know, it's a good chunk of the population that's saying, hey, we just want nothing to do with you guys anymore. You know, because that's, if this, you know, put that in terms of what would happen, you know, here, if CalExit actually did have serious legs. Because, I mean, even with the Brexit thing, I mean, look what happened. They voted for it, and they're still not actually really doing it.
Yeah, they voted for it in favor, and they're still not going to do it.
Yeah, so if CalExit had a lot more legs, like if those people that have been working for that whole state of Jefferson thing in the north of California and the south of Oregon and all that stuff, if they had actually been more ideologically aligned with the people who were talking about CalExit, because the people who were talking about CalExit were mostly leftists and stuff like that.
True.
Whereas most of the people I've encountered who are involved in the state of Jefferson project to the north are mostly on the right end of the spectrum, I guess, the political spectrum. But if they had been more ideologically aligned, maybe they'd have worked together more. And if that became an actual, like, if that was more of a serious threat, I think there's a chance you would see the federal government kind of flex its muscle. Maybe not as overtly as the Spanish government is doing currently, but, you know, you're talking about that large of a population center for the country, and that meant, you know, that much money in tax, you know, tax revenue, just saying, nah, we want to be done with you. I don't, you know, I think a lot more attention would be paid by the U.S. federal government if that happened, you know. It'd be a lot different than these other little things. You know, Texas spouts off every once in a while about this, but never really does anything. There's been talk in Vermont. Heck, even Northern New York's been talking about it for years. But if it got serious, I think you'd think get a whole lot more crazy here, too.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Still Shane, and he's still Jeremy, and this is our final segment, which we often refer to as Redemption in the Third Act. But before we get to our last article, Michael had something he wanted to clarify, and that's when he said that the Richard Spencer March last night was quote-unquote brilliant. He meant it was because they didn't announce it. There was only one counter-protester in attendance, and they left. And the video is making people crazy. But what he meant was that it was like a ninja protest, which was very wise on their part.
Yes. Like you said, I that was way back in the first hour. I kind of forgot that he even said that. But like you said, you could see how people might have taken that the wrong way if all they heard was, you know, a perfect out of context feed moment, Michael saying, "Oh, that march was brilliant."
Right.
But yeah, that's a good clarification. So on to the redemption, and we don't always necessarily have redemption around here, but tonight we have one that the Roger Ver one could have been, but I think that was a bigger story we wanted to talk about, but I think we have the perfect redemption here, you know, which kind of goes along the same lines of, you know, stepping maybe outside of certain governments to be able to do certain things, but still follow the laws of the government that you're going to deal with. And this one is there's an island resort that's currently offering guests copious amounts of cocaine, free alcohol, and unlimited sex with prostitutes.
Yeah,
And the subtitle to this article is that mentions that the holidays are being promoted on an island. This is off the coast of Cartagena in Colombia, where prostitution is legal, although pimping is not. So this article actually goes on to explain that this may kind of run these people afoul of that somehow, because
right.
It kind of may seem like they're pimping it out. But I was mentioning during the break when we were talking about this that to me this just kind of seems like a floating version of a hedonism event, which mm-hmm. I have no problem with. I think they are wonderful. I've never actually attended one, but I think, and unfortunately now at my age with kids, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get around to getting one anytime soon, but seems like a heck of a lot of fun, you know, kind of just yeah. do what
And
you
I wonder
want.
If they get around that little loophole, because it says here, 60 prostitutes will compete for the attention of 30 men on the trip. So I think that you kind of have a little bit of competition there, and it's not like, you know, it's not like a pimp just sets everything up. You know, you kind of probably have to socialize, and then you choose which ones to hang out with, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like a raunchier version of The Bachelor.
There you go. I think that's the show I was thinking of during the break.
Oh, there you go. Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, because they're only offering 30 tickets for the guys to show up for this thing. And yeah, there's all sorts of promises, you know, along with the copious amounts of cocaine and such. I think it states that each of the 30 guys will be given at a minimum, I think it is, a half an hour with 16 prostitutes at once. And I mean, just imagine the amount of things you could do with that many body parts in that short amount of time. But again, this is like, you know, this for the most part, at least, you know, they may run afoul of this whole pimping thing. But other than that, everything else they're doing is legal as where they are in Colombia. And they're, you know, floating out on this nice little looking little on this little yacht floating out to these islands out there. But again, people are willing to pay to go to something like this. And show up for this event where they're following the rules of the country they're in. But of course, there will be people all over the place that would think this is horrible and think that stuff like this should be shut down, which is a shame because, you know, if people are willing to spend their money and they're not hurting anybody, you know, they're all engaged in this voluntarily, assuming that, of course.
As long as it's voluntary and consensual.
Yeah, as long as all the women there. And again, where prostitution is legal, a lot more people, there's not as much risk of the whole, you know, trafficking thing involved because people are voluntarily engaging in it because they know they're not going to get in trouble. So you would assume it's all on the up and up with that, and the women all want to be there. And as long as that's the case, who cares? Let people have their fun, man. Where do you want to spend your money? I'm cool with that. Well, it's been a fun show, Shane. Thank you for joining me tonight. And for more of us, go to freedomfiends.com.
Learners.